All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio. This is Veterans Radio. And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, CW2 type helicopter pilot in the United States Army in 1969. Happy birthday to the United States of America, 247 years old. Sometimes I think we're starting to act our age, maybe. But anyway, so this is a week of celebration. So we encourage everybody to go out, celebrate America with your friends, your family, go watch the fireworks, set off some fireworks. Just be careful of some of the fireworks that you set off, because there may be some veterans around your community. You know, they sometimes get a little bit of an overreaction to that only based on their own experience. So just be careful if you're going to blow up the neighborhood. So be careful about that. Anyway, I wanted to welcome you to our program. As you know, this is our 999th program of Veterans Radio, episode of Veterans Radio. So we're getting to a really big occasion coming up next week, and I guess I better get that out of the way right now. So on Sunday, July 9th, you, everybody out there, are invited to celebrate our 1,000th episode of Veterans Radio, and we are going to be in Ypsilanti, Michigan, at the Sidetrack Bar and Grill down on Cross Street from 4 until 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We are also going to do a live broadcast from the Sidetrack from our normal 5 to 6 p.m. We've got people coming in from all over the place, people who were on the very first program back in November of 2003. We've got Bob is going to be there. Ken is going to be there. Some of our interns have also had notified us that they want to know if they can come along. And also, of course, you. So we encourage you to come down. Go to our website, please, veteransradio.org. And if you can register, kind of give us an idea of how much food we need to provide for you. Everything is free, by the way. Don't worry about anything. So come on down to the Sidetrack between 4 and 7 p.m. next Sunday, July 9th, for our 1,000th episode. Going to be cool. I'm telling you, be there. Be square. A couple of other big events that are coming up in our local Southeast Michigan area are the number one is the Vet Fest, and this is the Washtenaw County Vet Fest. Is going to be held at Washtenaw Community College, and that is on the, where did it go? I had it right here just a second ago. Here it is. All right. Saturday, July 22nd from 10 until 3 p.m. That is free for veterans and their family. There's going to be live bands, free lunch, raffles, military and emergency service vehicles. I understand rumor control has it that there's going to be a Chinook on the grounds. That'll be interesting. That'll be really cool, actually. Veteran service providers and agencies are going to be there. We will be there. All kinds of activities for children and everything else. For more information, please, and if you want to register for that or you want to participate in it, go to Washtenaw County Vet Fest .eventbrite.com. That's Washtenaw County Vet .eventbrite.com. For more information, that is Saturday, July 22nd from 10 until 3 p.m. at Washtenaw Community College. Got the shirt on today, actually. You can't see it. That's right. They were on radio. The other big event that is really coming up is coming up in August, and so I guess you could plan ahead a little bit, is Thunder Over Michigan. This is the Yankee Air Museum's big event, big fundraiser of the year. And it's going to be on August 12th and 13th. And for more information about that, you get to go to their website. That's yankeeairmuseum.org/thunder. And all the information that you need there. I've got a list of some of the airplanes and things that are going to be in there. So it's kind of cool. They got Stratotankers. They got a P-51 Mustang, CT-133, Silver Star, F-15, F-22, B-29s, P-47s, everything in the world. Plus, you can get rides. Yeah, there's rides on helicopters. You get rides on a B-17, B-29, all kinds of things out there. So just make sure that you go there. That's coming up on August 12th and 13th. Make sure you get out there. Go to yankeeairmuseum.org/airshow, and you'll be able to find out more information. I think you'll really enjoy going to that one. It's pretty cool. It's always a cool show. It's a great show. Hopefully the weather will cooperate this time. The last one is, for those of you in the local area that are parts of the American Legion, the local Ann Arbor, Irwin Prescorn Post 46 is going to be celebrating their 100th anniversary on August 30th, from 5 till 8 p.m. on the campus of Washtenaw Community College. Enjoy a great dinner, awards program, guest speakers, so on and so forth. The event is free, but you do need to sign up beforehand. So I would suggest the website, go to post46.org in Michigan. You'll find out more information for how to register for that free dinner to celebrate 100 years. We think it's a big deal because we're coming off on 20 years, but 100 years is there for you. So do that. One thing I can't forget this week that I almost forgot last week, and that is to thank our sponsors. So for all of you out there, we want to make sure that you thank our sponsors. We can't do this program without them, and we can't do it without you, obviously. But first of all, we need to thank Legal Help for Veterans. They've been a longtime sponsor of Veterans Radio. Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans' disability claims. Give them a call at 800-693-4800. Or you can go to their website, legalhelpforveterans.com, and find out all the information that you need. You can actually start a claim right there. National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of a veteran-owned business. For more information, you can go to their website. That's nvbdc.org. Or give them a call at 888-237-8433. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information on the medical center, go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. We also want to thank our local veteran service organizations, and that includes the Irwin Prescorn American Legion Post 46 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. If you'd like to become a sponsor of Veterans Radio, you can just go to our website, it's veteransradio.org, and click on sponsors. As many of you know, we have made the transition from a, we had a for-profit that really never made website that didn't work out quite as well. We never made any funding on that. So we've turned ourselves into a 501c3. And that way we can take tax deductible donations. So if you would like to support Veterans Radio, you can go to veteransradio.org now and click on the donate button. We would greatly appreciate your support, and, you know, get on our newsletter mailing list, and you'll find out what's coming up on Veterans Radio every week. And lots of other things, discounts right now. If you're looking to purchase any Veterans Radio gear, there's a 20% discount on that if you purchase it through the website, veteransradio.org. That's it. All right. So today's program, I've got two great guests coming up, or actually three. The first one is going to be talking about an organization that I found online, because I'm always looking for these really unique veteran-owned, veteran-centric nonprofit organizations that are out there trying to help veterans out. And this one that I found is called bimemorialday.com. And what it does, and I'm not going to steal all the thing from our guest, but is they go and they clean the markers and gravestones of veterans that are not in national cemeteries. And we'll get into talking about that in a second. And then in the second half of the program, we've got our Operation Song segment. And for those of you that are not familiar, Operation Song is based out of Nashville, Tennessee. And what they do is that a group of veterans get together and they work with a group of songwriters and performers, and they write songs about the veterans' stories. And that's what we're going to be doing today. So today we're going to be talking with a husband and wife about their adventure and missions. So stick around for that. But right now we've got the founder of Bimemorial Day on our line, And his name is Trey Zipperer. And Trey, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. I appreciate you having me on today and helping raise awareness about the condition of our veteran headstones all across America in the private cemeteries.
Well, it is really important. And the thing that really attracted me to your mission was that this is something that my wife and I have been doing for over the years. We've kind of limited it to Vietnam veterans in our local area. And we've gone out and we've looked and we've found, you know, their headstones or their plaques and so forth. And we had to really spend a lot of time cleaning them up. And this is what you're doing, but you're doing it for every veteran group. How did you come about this idea?
Well, it started at the battlefield of Gettysburg. I walked out on the battlefield, and I just wondered if one of my grandfathers may have fought there. So I built my family tree over the next 40 days and 40 nights, and it was quite a fascinating adventure to go all the way back to 400 years in America's history to the first military organization called the Ancient and Honorable Artillery Company of Massachusetts there in Boston. And one of my 11th great-grandfathers was a charter member. And so my family has had a military backing of America from way back, way before we even became the United States of America. And so as I learned all these things about my family tree, I decided to go out and honor my ancestors by cleaning their graves. And there's a website called findagrave.com where you can find out where your great-great-great-grandmother and grandfather are buried, for example. And once you know where they are, you can drive there, visit their graves, and that's when I realized the condition of our cemeteries in America is falling into disrepair. So I set out to clean up historic cemeteries in my local county here in Florida, and that's when I realized that there were no African Americans buried in the 27 cemeteries that I was trying to maintain. And so I went to the African American Segregated Cemetery of the Past to see what we may be able to do there. And that's when I happened to stumble upon the issue of veteran headstones covered in disgraceful biological growth. So I immediately recognized those veteran style headstones from my visits to Arlington and other national cemeteries. But when I called the city to request permission to clean the headstones, I was told that that was not possible because I wasn't family. I told them that I was their military family because these men had been dead for 100 years, and they said that wasn't going to work out. And anyway, they accused me of trespassing in the cemetery. I said, how am I trespassing? They said, well, you're soliciting. I said, I'm not soliciting anything. I'm asking how to obtain permission to clean a veteran's headstone. And it was at that point that I realized that there's a disconnect in America between what's happening in the cemeteries and what we think is happening in the cemeteries. And so I told them, I said, this is a ridiculous rule that you have. This law is silly. Yeah. You know, you should have a law that takes care of veteran graves. And they said, well, that's not our job. That's not our task to do. I said, well, then I'll take care of it. And they said, well, basically, knock yourself out.
So, oh, well, that's good. At least they allowed you to go in there.
Well, they didn't at first. So yeah. I had to call the local NBC news affiliate. And within 7 minutes of them broadcasting from the cemetery, interviewing me in front of these disgraceful condition veteran headstones, the mayor's office was sending a note to NBC News telling them that they were going to allow me to clean headstones beginning Saturday. So it took me basically showing them their bad side on the news to get their attention that this is something that America will support, and it's ludicrous that you will not allow someone to volunteer to clean a veteran's headstone. So that's how it all started, but that's when I realized there are a lot of obstacles in place over the years that have created this mindset that only family members can clean a headstone. And it's a long story, but at the end of the day, these veteran headstones that are furnished by the government remain federal property, and that makes them a special case to where you don't have to obtain any family permission because these stones are federal property. So you have to get permission from the cemetery, But the cemeteries don't know these things. And so I had to work with the National Cemetery Administration to create the first of its kind best practices protocol on how to properly clean a veteran headstone. Because believe it or not, 160 years into this, no one at the National Cemetery Administration had ever put together a set of instructions. It seems pretty simple, which it was. And within 4 months, the Veterans Affairs Department through the National Cemetery Administration produced and posted the first ever how to clean a veteran headstone document on their website. And that was the biggest success that I had to get all of the roadblocks out of the way of volunteers across America that would like to go and clean a veteran's headstone.
I went to your website, and I encourage people to go to this website. It's really interesting. BiMemorialDay.com, and you can find out how to actually clean, you know, these markers. And as you mentioned, so I went to your website, and I actually looked at your, you have some little training videos on there on, you know, what we need to do and what the things we don't want to do, because there are certain products that you don't want to put on some of these old, especially some of these really older cemetery headstones and so forth. But there is a website through the VA that you know that people can look at. Do you, what is that called? Where did it go here?
I have a link on by Memorial Day. I took on the role of running blocker, so to speak. I'm trailblazing a path to the veteran graves for the volunteers anywhere in America, because I can only clean so many headstones myself. But if we all work together and each one of us clean one veteran headstone, then we can get them all clean by just the end of the weekend. But the reality is we have to reach people and teach them how to do it. And people are answering the call. My videos have been watched almost 5 million times now. So on my website, on the About page, I have a hot link to the veterans. It's actually CEM, which is National Cemetery Administration's website. On the VA website, it's easier to take the hot link on my About page, and it'll take you right to the document that teaches you everything you need to know about how to properly clean a government-furnished headstone or grave marker.
I think this is a great opportunity for everybody. I thought it was really timely with Independence Day, with, you know, birthday and birthday to America. And I was thinking of a friend of ours. He used to be one of my hosts and partner in the radio program. And he went out and he found there was a Revolutionary War person buried locally. And they had really trouble finding his headstone. And Gary went out there and got him a new one. And they kind of had this big ceremony, which I think this is great. And I really encourage everybody to go to BiMemorialDay.com, and all the information is there. And, you know, maybe by next Memorial Day, we can clean every one of those headstones that are out there.
That's what I believe. And you get an idea of the scope of what we're dealing with. The National Cemetery Administration maintains approximately 3.2 million veteran graves within the national cemeteries. There's like 150 national cemeteries. But before you have a burial, you have to decide where are you going to bury your loved one veteran, in a national cemetery or in your hometown cemetery. So there's no number of how many veterans are buried in their hometown cemeteries, but we believe it's at least two times the number that are in the national cemetery. So there's probably in excess of 6 million veterans buried in their local cemeteries with a government-furnished headstone. And there is no program to maintain those stones in perpetuity. That's the role that by Memorial Day has taken on, is we've taken on, with a budget of zero, a twice as large problem or task as the National Cemetery Administration handles each year with $720 million annual budget. So it's just a matter of, if we can just get patriotic Americans to each one of us clean one veteran headstone by Memorial Day, we can easily get this done, because there are a lot more of us living today in America benefiting from the freedoms that were provided by our veterans of the past. So I ask everyone to please spread the word, tell people about the program, and get out in your local cemetery and find out the condition of your veteran headstones and learn on bymemorialday.com how to do it properly. It's very simple. I've created 53 videos. I've covered just about every topic that you can think about of cleaning a veteran headstone, including how to ask permission from the cemetery.
Well, that's a lot of information there, and I strongly encourage people to go to bymemorialday.com. This is Tracy Zipperer, who founded the whole organization. And, Trey, I want to thank you so much for being on Veterans Radio. Good luck. Let us know what we can do to help out, and we'll be talking to you before next Memorial Day.
Sounds great, Dale. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks, you heard it. Here's a challenge. By next Memorial Day, we're going to get you out there and clean off all those veteran cemetery headstones that were provided by the government. All right, we're going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back, I'm going to introduce the interview that we did earlier in the week with Josh and Carrie Brennerman about their song with Operation Song. So you're listening to Veterans Radio. We will be right back after this.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
PC Eugene Obregon pulled a fellow Marine to safety, then shielded his body with his own. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
While serving as an ammunition carrier for a machine gun squad that was temporarily pinned down by North Korean fire, Obregon observed a fellow Marine fall wounded. Armed only with a pistol, he unhesitatingly dashed from his covered position to the side of the casualty. Firing his pistol with one hand as he ran, he grabbed his comrade by the arm with the other hand and dragged him to the side of the road. Still under enemy fire, he was bandaging the man's wounds when hostile troops of approximately platoon strength began advancing toward his position. Quickly seizing the wounded Marine's carbine, he placed his own body as a shield in front of him and lay there firing accurately and effectively into the hostile group until he himself was fatally wounded by enemy machine gun fire. Obregon enabled his fellow Marines to rescue the wounded man and aided essentially in repelling the attack.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. If you were exposed to toxic substances in the military, a new law called the PACT Act may make you eligible for extra benefits and care. The PACT Act benefits veterans of the Vietnam, Gulf War, and post-9/11 eras. Learn more at va.gov/pact or call 1-800-MY-VA-411.
Dale Thornberry for Veterans Radio. We're coming up on a major milestone in the Veterans Radio story. 1,000 episodes. That's right, 1,000 episodes telling the story of America's veterans. We want you to join us at our celebration. Come on down to the Sidetrack Bar and Grill in Ypsilanti, Michigan on Sunday, July 9th from 4 until 7 p.m. For more information, you can just go to our website. That's veteransradio.org. We hope to see you there. From all of us at Veterans Radio, this is Dale Thornberry, and until July 9th, you are dismissed. That's better. I got all excited by those things. All right, so come on down. Yes, July 9th, went down to the Sidetrack Bar and Grill in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Right now, we want to get straight into our interview that we did with the Operation Song people. So I'm going to play this. We're going to play this pre-recorded interview, and then we're going to come back with just a couple of little messages toward the end of the program, and we're going to go out on one of our patriotic songs. So here we go. Here is Operation Song. Here we are on Veterans Radio, and we're really excited to have our guest today from Operation Song. Remember, we talk about these folks all the time. What they do is they take veterans, put them together with composers and songwriters and singers, and they put together some of the most incredible music I've heard in years. And so today's program is going to be talking with Josh and Carrie Brennerman, and their song is entitled This Life. So let's get into it right away and introduce Josh and Carrie. So I'm going to go this way first. So Carrie, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
All right. Now, Josh, it's your turn. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's our pleasure and our honor, really, to be able to talk to both of you today. So, Josh, tell me a little bit about your military service and, you know, where you were stationed and so forth, or where you're from.
Yeah, we're both originally from Pennsylvania, but joined the Army and went to Fort Benning, and then started out my career at Fort Bragg. It was 2 Fury, 2508. Super excited there. And that's actually where my first deployment was. And so that's where we started, and actually started out as an infantryman there. And then actually got an opportunity to go to OCS. And so became an officer and went back down to Fort Benning, for OCS, and I became an infantry officer down there. And then after that, got stationed at Fort Campbell and, went to 2506 and, had spent the rest of my time there.
Okay. And, So, Carrie, were you guys married when Josh went into the service, or did this come a little bit afterward?
No, it actually came after. He joined in March of 2012, and we met the September before.
Oh, okay.
And so when he left, we were just dating, writing notes. I still have a box full of all of our letters to and from each other, so... and then I went to all of his graduations and we got married in 2013, had a little girl in 2013. And then we were in North Carolina where again, he said he deployed. So I was deployed with a baby. She was 6 months old when he deployed. And then he came home just after she was one. And so. That was interesting. We went with him to every duty station he was at. And again, like he said, we ended our career in Tennessee at Fort Campbell. And then we actually moved to Florida, where we live now. So.
Okay. And so when you were at Fort Campbell, is this where you guys got kind of hooked up with the Operation Song organization?
Yep.
Yeah. So really good, really awesome couple, Van and Becky from the VFW. Actually, we met them and they got us into the VFW. But I was going through a little bit of a tough time and they awesome friends. And they reached out and said, look, just they scheduled it. They said, just go here. It's on Saturday. Show up. You don't need anything. It'll be a good time. And it genuinely life changing. And it's great. I wanted to mention that. It's just so cool, the veteran community, and that a veteran reached out to me and was like, hey, man, just go do this. And I don't think you find that anywhere else, right? So it was just really cool that they were willing to reach out and just look to help. And it was just so cool to get the opportunity.
Well, I think that's what's so cool really about the veteran community is that, you know, it's kind of a cliche, but, you know, we always had your back when you were in the service, you know, and then we like to think that we've always had each other's backs now that we're out of the service. And I know it said, you said that the VFW, it was helpful to you and the guy reached out to you there and said, you know, come on, go down to this thing. And he just signed you up, which is kind of cool. And, yeah. So you went down there and how did you end up being, are you assigned to, composers and things, or do you kind of walk around the room and it's, oh, let's work with these people or they come to you?
It kind of worked out. It was just this.
They
weird
kind of vibe the room really, and they're like, you know what? I feel like they would match really nicely with these people. They would match really nicely with these people. It was like a big vibe thing. So when they came up, they were like, we were just kind of reading the room and paired us with Jamie and Pete.
That's cool. So can talk a little bit about Jamie and Pete. I thought that was really interesting too. They're very talented. They're professionals. And in fact, as you mentioned earlier before we started recording, is that they're going to be in Nashville on the 4th of July, actually performing your song, This Life.
Yeah, they're just awesome, down-to-earth people that just wanted to hear our story. And it was so much fun, the opportunity we got. We laughed, we told stories. They told us stories, and we got to hear a little bit about their career, too. And they were just such good people, and they're such good people to this day. We still are in communication a little bit with them. And a little bit more now that the song's getting played. But it's just them as people and songwriters, it was just so amazing how fast they turn around our story into a song. Mm-hmm. And then they played it for us and they played it in a room for us. And it was very personal. And then they give you the song. And now watching them as their careers progress has been wild. Watching Jamie's just out there crushing it in the world. I can't even describe how cool it is to just see how well they're doing and be like, we were a little part of that. And that's super fun to be a part of.
I can't imagine. So the process is that you sat down with them. And as you mentioned, you were telling stories back and forth sort of. And was this all in one day?
All in one day. It was in I think maybe 5 or 6 hours. it was an unbelievable experience. They just sat, and like Josh had said, they just sat and they listened to us. And again, they didn't know us from Adam when mm-hmm. we met in the morning. And by the afternoon, they wrote us this amazing song that it touches the heart. So.
It does touch the heart. And I suppose that we should probably play this song so that our listeners can hear what we're talking about here. And then, you know, we'll play it and then we'll come back and we'll discuss it a little bit more and talk more about how it's affected your life since. All right. So let's think about that. All right. Here we go.
Fighting who I am and the man that I can't change. I've laid my weapons down, but still I'm fighting every day. From a uniform to a suit and tie, from Kabul to the Tennessee countryside. Oh, how do I go from that life to this life? To never be alone, to always missing you. You're out there changing the world. My mind is changing too. From the three of us to just me and her, to knowing you're alive, to waiting on the world. Oh, it hurts to go from that life to this life.
This life will break your heart, surprise you with the hardest part, ask you to be stronger than you think you are. How do I take this hurting me in? Let it be a memory. I guess I'll take it one day at a time. Go from that life to this life.
You both have battle scars, and all they are is proof. How we survived. I made my way back to you. I'm being scared to death for coming back to life. We couldn't give it up a million times. This life break your heart, surprise you with the hardest part, ask you to be stronger than you think you are. How do I take this hurting me? Let it be a memory. I guess I'll take it one day at a time. Go from that life to this life. It's been one hell of a ride. That life to this life. From being scared to death, coming back to life, we could have given up at least a million times.
Holy moly. That's awesome. That's so appropriate. I mean, it's just so, It's a universal soldier type of song. I mean, I'm thinking here as I'm listening to it, and I'm going, as you described, a few tears come around probably when everybody does listen to this, but, this is kind of selfish to sell this, but I was in flight school at Fort Rucker, Alabama. It's got a new name, which I can't recall right now, but, so we got married between primary and secondary flight school and lived in a beautiful modular home, on wheels and, went through all that whole thing. And then, off I go to do the war thing, came back again to Fort Rucker and transitioned out from there and had the same type of issues. It sounds like it's so difficult to go. It's so difficult to go from that adrenaline high that you have while you're in the service to civilian life, which is fine. I mean, civilian life is not supposed to be, all that adrenaline stuff that you go through, but it takes quite a while for many of us to come down. And this is what I heard in there. Josh, I'd like to know about how you're coming down from that. How did that go? It doesn't sound like it was smooth.
No, and I'll go all the way to the beginning when, like, my wife here took a chance on me, right? We met just before I joined the service and drove from Pennsylvania down to my airborne graduation and surprised me. Like, it's that buildup of just the bond that we had, and she took a chance on me and followed my bus all the way to Fort Bragg. It's just the amazing buildup of our relationship started there, and it built around the military. I got to a unit and had great leaders there. And I think that was a bond we got to build there. And Carrie got to meet some good, other wives that had been dealing with it and had done it previously. And so when I went on my first deployment, we didn't know. We had no idea what it was going to be like. I was excited. I was that young soldier that's what you want to do. That's what we were excited to go do. And at no point do you really think, oh, I got a, my wife's at home and I got a young baby at home. And, we were blessed to be able to have more than the letters that I'm sure you had, obviously. Mm-hmm. I did get a chance to get Wi-Fi and things like that, but you're still separated and understanding. I have a job to do, but man, that job that at home of taking care of the kid, a 6-month-old that just doesn't want to go to bed at night. And so I want to make sure that I give all the credit that I can to the appreciation that I think all of us soldiers, have of our families at home. But coming back, it was a very tough transition. You're still in that high at the very beginning. You're on that honeymoon phase again with your family, and it's really exciting, but depression starts to set in, and it's 100 miles an hour to zero. And how do you get back to that? And then in my situation, I went right to OCS a couple months later. So I was gone again for a couple of months. And then into eyeball, and just all of this training, and it kind of never stopped. And, right. I was the one that was getting after it and hunting after it and trying to get better and improve my career and things. And she was there just carrying everything, house, family, everything like that. And so I kept driving for that success and keeping that high. And then got done that, and we went to Fort Campbell, and I deployed very quickly after that again. And so now she's got a little bit older child, and it just changes. She's now got school to worry about. She's got all these other things, gymnastics with our daughter, and our daughter's now dealing with a second deployment of her dad. And so that one was tough. Not as much what we were doing on the deployment was tough, but it was missing them again. And then coming back from that one is where I had a really tough time of figuring out how to get back with the family, and I did not do well. And like I said earlier, I was just so blessed to have good friends, good families that we were surrounded by in the military community at the time. And then as I transitioned out, just to look out for me, and then got us into this program, and it's been life changing, and it's still to this day, we're 4 years later now. Even when we have tough times, families are going to have tough times. We can go back, and this can be the rock of look what we made it through. we can do this. And it's a really cool thing to go back on. And I'm just so thankful, like I said, of friends and families that we had the entire time and that we're able to help with my wife, but also help with me and have conversations that you can't have with other people. And that was just awesome.
That is one of the issues is that when you do get out of the service, you know, you want to tell your stories. The families have heard them and they don't really want to hear them over and over again. And you know, you can't talk to your new civilian friends about it because they'll never be able to relate to what you're talking about. And it kind of weighs down on you. Carrie, I want to ask you about how you felt when Josh came home. How did that affect you? Well, you were the boss and now suddenly you got
to.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. But I mean, you were responsible for everything while he was deployed.
Yeah, everything. And I mean, honestly, obviously it takes a long time for mail and everything. So I had to become the power of attorney when it came to a lot of things. I have purchased homes by myself. So like, it was a lot. But then when he came home, it was fantastic to have him home. But now because he was gone for nearly a year, life still happened, you know, like our life still happened. It didn't just stop. And so going and putting another person into that aspect, it was hard because we did have our routine and now it's kind of, it was an uprooted routine. And again, with children and uprooting routines is a little bit of a difficult task, but it was fantastic to have him home, both times from deployment. I think the second one was probably harder than the first, just because as he said, with the whole honeymoon phase thing, it was really, really nice. And then the second deployment, you feel like if you can handle one, you can handle any of them. So the second one, it was kind of, you just, again, you knew life was still going to happen. But, again, our daughter was older. There were a lot more things that were, I guess, we had to go through within a second deployment. And so, but we came out even stronger. Again, this Operation Song couldn't have come at a better time during our transition out of the military because it gave us, it was like a therapeutic experience that we were able to have, that we were able to get a lot off our chest that we haven't been able to.
No, I can hear the emotion in your voice just about that. And I'm thinking what an advantage that would have been if anybody who had been in the service, you know, if they were able to sit down with their spouse and somebody and tell their stories. And then they take that story and they turn it into just a beautiful song.
Right.
And it's a song that you can go back to over and over and over again and say, you know, well, life is tough now. Well, let's look back and look and see what we did then. Let's continue that. This is what's so important about our relationship is, you know, that we love each other terribly, awfully, you know, emotionally, and that this is something that we're going to have forever. This is truly an example of our song.
Right.
You know,
that's so amazing. And we talk about it a lot because we had another daughter since we moved to Florida. And so just two completely different, childhoods between her and her older sister. Sure. And so it's pretty cool that we'll have this as a momentum and we can talk about it and she can be like, oh, that's super cool. And, you know, she'll be in the digital age. So I'm sure everybody will be able to see it. She'll share with her friends. But I think, Mike had said it perfect is that we can look at our story as a success story, right? There's so many military families that it's really sad that don't work out because of these hard times. And I don't know the statistics of it, but I'm sure a lot of it could be solved if we had the ability to just get in a room and write a song, right?
Yeah.
I think there's an opportunity for it. And I love that we get to tell the story of success. And I think that's so cool. And all I want to do is have a family that's a successful family and our kids get to see, you know, mom and dad, everything wasn't perfect always. And they're going to think when they're young that everything was this rosy, wonderful childhood. But they'll get to know that we fought hard, for our family and that we appreciated them and that they get to see that we're a success story. And hopefully that can help their future as well.
Well, I think it's always cool when our, you know, when our kids can see us, warts and all, and how much that we love them, and you know that they become such an important part of our lives, and you know with two little girls, right?
Yeah.
with a big bear of a dad, and
yeah, the beard's grown a little bit during the oldest one's lifetime.
I didn't have the beard. I didn't have the beard because I couldn't grow a mustache or anything while I was in the service. I don't know what happened. And then about 20 years after I got out, suddenly it just burst yeah. forth. I was finally said, oh, I'm finally mature.
It's weird. I put on a little weight and gained a beard out of getting out of the Army.
You know, well, you know, that happens. That's, yeah. Well, mainly, you know, because we can't survive on their food anyway. But, excuse me. I just wanted to finish this up with, you know, so you're both back. Obviously, you're back in civilian life. Josh, you're working for Chewy?
Yeah, work for Chewy. I'm a project manager down in Florida. Work out of Ocala, Florida, which is just south of Gainesville. I work in basically the industry that builds applications and IT world. So I'm project manager for the IT and applications world. Not at all what I would expected being an infantryman getting out and doing this, but just a shout out to Chewy. They have a wonderful program, military transition program, where they go in, they help vets. They show up to the, as you're getting out, your transition program, and gave me a card and said, hey, check it out. And we weren't looking at moving. We wanted to stay in Tennessee. I mean, you live just north of Nashville. Tennessee is one of the most beautiful states I've ever seen. But when an opportunity happens where you can move your family to Florida and get to live that life. So it just worked out, and I've worked here for almost 3 years now. It's just been a great opportunity, and we have a support group of just all veterans that are in a little Slack communication group that, it's just, you find communities everywhere. And Operation Song is one of those things that is a community, and it helps you branch out. But it's just cool to see that many companies are doing that as well now, where they're getting their veterans together. As the community grows and we're, you know, coming down from wartime, you got a lot of guys that are getting out and want to have that community. So that's my
life. I really wanted you to talk about Chewy a little bit, because as you mentioned, there are so many companies out there that do have military transition programs going, and it's great that they learned the lesson from the history that, you know, veterans are great employees. We take orders really well. If things don't work, we can come up with a plan B, C, D, E, F, whatever it is, whatever the job is, we get it done for them. And I think that that's the idea that I wanted to talk about. Carrie, I know that you also are working as well. What is it that you're doing now?
So I work with the patient service portion of an orthodontic organization. It's a regional orthodontic organization. So I've been doing that for 2 years from home. I used to be a clinician where I worked in the office. And then again, he presented with the move to Florida. I contacted my management and I said, what can you offer me? And they said, we can offer you this. I said, I'll take that.
That's awesome.
And we moved, and now I work from home, and our 10-year-old, she goes to school. I'm home with the 2-year-old too. So full-time mom, full-time employee.
It's just what moms do, it seems.
Yeah, you know.
Forever.
Forever.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both very, very much for being on Veterans Radio. We've been talking with Josh and Carrie Brenneman. Their song is This Life. I'm going to play it again as we go out, so that you can, we can all hear it. But, thank you so much for being on Veterans Radio. The song is going to be performed July 4th in Nashville at the, where did I see this? The Let Freedom Ring Sing July 4th celebration. At the riverfront at First and Broadway, for those of you that are listening down in Tennessee, and say hi to my relatives down there. And, thank you so much. This is great to talk to you. It's great to have people on from Operation Song. We look forward to talking to our next group next month, and, best of wishes to both of you.
Thank you so much, Dale. Have a good day.
Yeah. Thank you. Shout out to all my brothers at Fort Bragg and Fort Campbell.
Bye. fighting who I am and the man that I can't change. I've laid my weapons down, but still I'm fighting every day. From a uniform to a suit and tie, from Kabul to the Tennessee countryside. Oh, how do I go from that life to this life?
Never being alone, always missing you. You're out there changing the world. Mine is changing too. From the three of us to just me and her, to knowing you're alive, to waiting on the world. Oh, it hurts to go from that life to this life.
This life will break your heart, surprise you with the hardest part. Ask you to be stronger than you think you are. How do I take this hurt in the end? Let it be a memory. I guess I'll take it one day at a time. Go from that life to this life.
Both have battle scars, and all they are is proof.
How we survived, I made my way back to you. Be scared to death, for coming back to life. We couldn't give it up a million times. This life. Break your heart, surprise you with the hardest part. Ask you to be stronger than you think you are. How do I take this hurt in the end? Let it be a memory. I guess I'll take it one day at a time. Go from that life to this life. It's been one hell of a ride, that ride to this life. From being scared to death, coming back to life, we could have given up
at least a million times.
Okay.
you sounded very good. You know, it's a very good interview.
Like that too.
Yes. You know. Yeah.
We both sounded manly. No, thank you.
No.
I love it. Thank you so much. Yes,
thank you. We'll see you again. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Okay. We kind of added that in there at the end there. I wanted to hear how much they enjoyed that and how much they enjoyed writing that song together. With Jamie Floyd and Pete Salas. And I wanted to give a really big shout out to them for their song, This Life. It's one of the better ones that I've heard through Operation Song. I want to make sure that you all are aware of Operation Song. And I know we've talked about it every month, but you know, their mission is to bring them back one song at a time. And so I encourage you to go to operationsong.org and see what you can do. Help them out. Help, you know, donate money to them. Maybe you've got a song that you would, you know, going around in your head, or maybe you're, you know, you can work with them. It says get involved is one of their buttons on their website, and you could contact them and maybe they'll put you together with a songwriter and write your story song. I think it's great. I'm hoping to get down there sometime. It's not that I have a song that needs to be made or written, but I want to see this whole thing in work. Can you imagine? I mean, I had you listen to that song twice because I just thought it was just so powerful. But in less than 6 hours, they put together something like that. Ah, it takes me 6 hours to put together a 1 hour radio program sometimes. I do encourage you to do that. So, you know, anyway, Operation Song. Operation Song will be back next month with another song for you. And so tune in. Make sure you tune in. Don't miss any of these programs that we have. I got a minute to go, so I want to make sure that I remind you all that next Sunday is our 1,000th episode. 1,000. Can you believe it? So come on down to the Sidetrack Bar and Grill in Ypsilanti, Michigan, between 4 and 7. Refreshments are available. Adult beverages are available. Bring your kids, everything with you, and let's celebrate. This is something that we're so proud of here at Veterans Radio, and that we want to make sure that you can share in our happiness along with that. The other thing is that 4th of July, go out and celebrate. Whoever, you know, when they invented this country, it's a great idea. Let's keep it going. All right. Let's keep it going. It takes work. This is something that we're going to need to do. All right. So we're going to be playing Michael J. Martin's song as we go out. So this is Dale Thronberry for Veterans Radio. Until next week, you are dismissed.
Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountains' majesty, above the fruited plain, America, America. God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.